Imagine you were given a list of more than 100 million objects from American history, starting with prehistoric times and stretching all the way to today, and told to narrow it down to the top 101. Not an easy task. In fact, probably extremely difficult. But that's exactly what Richard Curran did. He's the Smithsonian Institution's Undersecretary for History, Art, and Culture, and he's written a book called The Smithsonian's History of America in 101 Objects. It starts with some 500 million-year-old fossils and ends with a massive, super high-tech telescope. In November, we spoke with Curran about how he winnowed down all those choices and which objects from New England made the cut. We also asked him to tell us where he began to assemble a list like this.
Well, not easily. The Smithsonian has 137 million objects. So boiling this down to 101 objects to tell a story of America is not an easy task. Where you begin at the Smithsonian, where I begin, is with my colleagues. We have over 100 scholars, curators, historians, art historians, and many more scientists. And you seek their advice about what they think is important. Now, when you do that, of course, the philatelists will tell you at the Smithsonian every one of those 101 items should be a stamp.
Of course.
But you take a range of opinions. The other thing I did in this case was took into consideration our visitors. Smithsonian gets about 30 million visitors a year. They gravitate towards certain objects. They want to see George Washington's sword and the Star-Spangled Banner and Lincoln's hat and
really
Kermit the
stuff.
Frog and, you know, Neil Armstrong's spacesuit and Jackie Kennedy's inaugural gown. So I took that into consideration. And then finally, I wanted to be sure I got a real scope of American history, different topics, politics, inventions, popular culture, civil rights, and so on. So I added in some things, and some of those things people have no idea about, and in fact, some of them have never even been exhibited.
So then you just do the tough process of winnowing down. And you did. You got it to 101. Would you tell us about some of the Boston area or larger New England region items that made it to the winnowed down list?
Early on the list is Plymouth Rock, of course. Benjamin Franklin was born here, and so we have his staff, of course. We had Massachusetts signers of the Declaration of Independence, and at the Smithsonian we have a particular copy of the Declaration of Independence that's very important. One of my favorite things from the New England area is the pamphlet publication of the Emancipation Proclamation. This is a miniature copy. This is not the copy that Lincoln signed and dated. But this was the one that was mass-produced so that it would be distributed in the field to Union soldiers to read to freed slaves. Had a tremendous impact in terms of the aftermath of the Civil War. The last item in the book is directly connected to Boston. It's the giant Magellan telescope that my colleagues at the Smithsonian, the Astrophysical Observatory and Harvard University, are building. This will be about the largest telescope on the planet.
And what's also significant about that telescope is that when listeners hear museum objects, they may think yellowing, dusty, brittle. But you take this all the way to the digital age.
I take it totally to the digital age. And, of course, at the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian includes, for example, the National Zoo, which started out as a kind of taxidermist's project and ended up being a conservationist project. And with that, of course, we have the pandas that the U.S. Received in exchange for some muskox that we gave to China when Nixon opened up China. The pandas, I think, are Object 71. We've recently had Object 71A, a new birth of a new panda.
Panda cub. As I looked at the New England area list, I began concluding that some of the items represent a revolution of some kind. So Isaac Singer's sewing machine, is that a
yes.
revolution in manufacturing? Is that why it makes the list? And John Deere's steel plow, is that a revolution in agriculture? Are they symbolic of some larger movement or shift?
Yes, I think so. One of the ones that comes directly out of this area, of course, is Alexander Graham Bell, who worked in the in Boston and New England area. Yes, I think the technological innovations really changed the world. So when you think of Edison's light bulb, that lit the world. When you think of the telephone, it brought us a lot closer together. We have the telegraph in there, which was a means of mass communication very quickly in the mid-19th century. What's important in this book, Sasha, when I deal with these objects, we think of them as dusty museum objects because we see them now. But when they were created, they were news. Mm. So when you look at Alexander Graham Bell's telephone, the ones he used here in Boston, it's very hard to like think of that and think of, wow, that was the root of the cell phone my daughter uses today.
I noticed that an item from Cambridge, Massachusetts that made the list is Julia Child's kitchen. Why that?
It was totally a revolution in eating. You know, when you think of everybody from Martha Stewart and Alice Waters, Emma Lagasse, and, you know, foodies today and our sense of culinary culture, Julia Child revolutionized that. And she revolutionized that by showing the creative role of women in the kitchen at a time when, you know, after the 50s, it was a little staid. And Julia Child brought in, of course, French cuisine that she had learned. Now she broke barriers in France because generally cooks and culinary artists were men. So Julia Child broke the gender line there. And then she had this wonderful show. Now, you know, great personality, oversized personality, maybe a little loopy in some ways, but very attractive and really emphasized in the 60s creativity and an outlet for women's creativity. And, you know, I don't think it's any small surprise that was happening at the same time that Jackie Kennedy was in the White House and bringing a sense of style and fashion and exuberance to a rather staid institution like the White House.
There's also some fun stuff that made the list, like Dorothy's ruby slippers and also Katharine Hepburn's Oscar awards, which are apparently a New England item because she was born in Hartford, Connecticut. I didn't realize that. So pop culture and Hollywood are also represented.
Yes, very much. You know, Americans have been innovators in that. You know, when you take a look at Dorothy's ruby slippers, for example, that has had tremendous staying power. People watch that year after year after television. And, you know, it was created during the Depression. It told the story of girl from Kansas. There was a mythic quality to it. But also what's interesting about the ruby slippers, if you read Frank Baum's a story, the original story, The Wizard of Oz, the slippers were silver. There was a new invention for movies called Technicolor. Silver didn't look very good on Technicolor, but ruby red looked fantastic. And so the slippers actually changed color due to the new film technology.
Mm. If you had compiled this list a decade ago or a decade from now, do you think it might change substantially because how we view our history changes depending on what point we are at in it?
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind. As our country changes, becomes more diverse, maybe more globalized, we'll definitely see that happening. So as we look to the next century, I would expect somebody else doing a new version of this will have many, many different objects. But if I look in the past, for example, there's one item there that strikes me quite strongly. It's a Medal of Honor that was awarded to Christian Fleetwood during the Civil War. This was an African-American soldier who fought, was awarded the Medal of Honor. His granddaughter tried to donate it to the Smithsonian in 1947. The medal was refused because the collections at that time, the national collections of the Smithsonian to tell the story of American history, were segregated. Just like baseball, just like many aspects of American life. Now, the head of the Smithsonian then overruled the museum and said, you need to take that Medal of Honor. But when you think of what's been excluded from our national collections or consciousness over the years, you know, if you're going to do this book 50 years ago, that medal might not have made it in.
Richard, I think you have a lifetime of stories now from having put this book together to tell at cocktail parties and dinners and in small gatherings.
Well, you know, it's true. And I think, you know, in writing this book, I didn't want to really leave things. I wanted to share this with the American people. I wanted to make sure that history is an engaging, sometimes even entertaining thing. It's not something to fear. You know, first of all, many children these days do not learn history in school, or they learn history as a number of dates and names they have to regurgitate. And it doesn't have a kind of texture and nuance. And I think I did this book to look at objects. These objects were all connected. When you look at that lovely color photo in the book of Abraham Lincoln's hat, you can touch that hat almost. You know, you really feel that you're touching history. And I think that's important. And then using the hat as a gateway into history of the time, who made it, why it was made, what it stood for. That was the hat that Lincoln wore the night he was assassinated. It had a black band around it that Lincoln had put on in mourning for his son, Willie. So that hat stood not only for Lincoln's stature, but it was a public recognition of his mourning for his son, just as millions of Americans were mourning their sons who had died in the war. So, you know, I use the object as a way into history. I hope it makes it engaging, fun, and I hope people learn a lot, get more curious about our history and heritage. It's important at this time.
Richard, thanks for coming into the studio.
Well, thank you, Sasha. Really appreciate it.
Richard Curran is the author of The Smithsonian's History of America in 101 Objects. To see a full list of the items, as well as some pictures, including Abraham Lincoln's top hat and Neil Armstrong's spacesuit, go to radioboston.org.